listening to O Lake Radio.
Welcome to O Lake Radio's College Football Weekly.
Every week, we highlight important games for the 2015 college football season.
Hello and welcome to Episode 7 of College Football Weekly. I'm your host, Brandon Fenzel, here with my co-host, Patrick Henry.
Hey, what's up, guys? Big week in championship week, and we got a few games we're going to talk about this week, but let's start with the four playoff teams that made it.
Yeah, so the playoffs were announced Sunday during the day, and it should have come to a shock to anyone that these four teams made it in after winning their championship games. And the first seed is Clemson.
Clemson, and they're squaring off against a Oklahoma team that's been playing their best football lately.
Yeah, the Oklahoma team's been really hot lately, and they won the Big 12, and there's no shock that they're in. But I was a little shocked that they were the four seed, and Michigan State hopped them, as we'll see in a few minutes.
Yep, and then we got number two Alabama in the Cotton Bowl versus number three MSU.
Yeah, I think all these are going to be intriguing games. I like how they all square up, and we'll talk about it more in our Bowl Picks episode, which will be coming out later this week, which we'll talk about and pick each bowl game that's happening.
Each and every bowl game, no matter what game, we're going to dive into it, pick each game, and maybe give a few stats about it.
Yeah, but for this episode, we're just going to review the games we picked last week, maybe talk about the Heisman a little, and talk about a few games that happened this week, like the Army-Navy game, and maybe some lower-level NCAA games.
Yep, so let's go into the games we did last week. Number one, Clemson, defeated number 10 North Carolina, 45-37. Deshaun Watson threw for 289 yards with three TDs, and also had 131 yards rushing with two TDs on the ground. Big performance.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson really showed up in the biggest game for Clemson season. And I really think that out of the Heisman finalists, I think he'll be in there too. I think there's going to be one good guy left out of the Heisman finalists, but I definitely think because of that performance in the big game versus North Carolina, I think that he'll be let in. Because if he doesn't play that well, face it, they don't beat that tough North Carolina team. And it was a closer game than most expected. If you chose Clemson to win, you thought it was going to be very, very, like,
widespread.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looked like that. After at halftime, North Carolina was down by, they were down 21-16. So Clemson came out and got two straight touchdowns. So you're like, okay, Clemson's picking it up. They're picking it up. So then they made it 35-16. But UNC came back halfway through the third quarter and throughout the whole fourth quarter, and it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, Marquise Williams played a great game in the second half. He struggled a little in the first half, but he played great the second half, and it was too little too late for North Carolina. And I know I chose North Carolina for the game. Who did you choose for the game?
I chose Clemson.
Yeah, I chose North Carolina for the game just because even in this game, Clemson didn't look like a true number one team. They didn't seem like the number one team in the nation that would go out there and win every game. You know what I mean?
I mean, you can't blame the offense. The offense put up 608 total yards of offense. You got to look at the defense here. UNC only had 382 yards. How will you allow 37 points out of that?
Exactly. I think that's the main question mark for them in the playoffs, is that their weak defense. Will the offense be able to pick up the points versus stronger defenses than North Carolina and keep them in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see that.
Yeah, we'll see how it all unfolds coming this big bowl season coming up. And let's go to the SEC championship game. No shock, Alabama won 29-15. Ever since that Ole Miss game, they've been playing their best football. Derrick Henry had 44 carries and 189 rushing yards and a TD. Weak performance by him, nonetheless very good, but we're used to seeing him get 250 yards a game.
Yeah, I think that's a testament of how good he's been doing, is that those yardage were like, oh, it was a below average game for Derrick Henry. That just proves how great of a season he's having, and a Heisman caliber season for sure.
Yes, and the balanced offense, you don't know what's coming. 204 yards passing, over 189 yards for Derrick Henry, plus I think 20 yards on with another guy that Coker ran for a few yards, and had 437 yards of total offense. So basically their plays are divided in half.
And that's what difference about this Alabama team from Alabama teams in the past, is that they have a quarterback that can make plays outside the pocket, can throw the ball. He knows what to do. He is a true game general, And I think he's going to be the difference from Alabama season in the past till now. I think they have a quarterback that can manage the game and make plays when he has to. And earlier this season, we were talking about, we brought up a statistic, how Alabama hasn't lost more than, what, two games in a season for a while.
Yeah.
And it's looking like this could be another one of those seasons. So just the consistency of Alabama and the reputation they have really drove him to the playoffs.
Now, here's a weird stat that I found about the game. Alabama controlled and had ball possession for 45 minutes. Three-fourths of the game, it was Alabama's ball. How can any opposing team's offense beat Alabama when they control three-fourths of the game?
You can, and that's their strong point. If they're controlling the ball for three-fourths of the game, you're going to have limited opportunities for your offense. And we saw that in the game with Florida, how one of Florida's touchdowns was the punt return because they didn't have much time on the ball. So in the playoffs, we'll be looking towards teams keeping possession away from Alabama's offense, because if Alabama's offense is on the field for that long, the opposing defense is going to get tired really fast.
This is a Florida team whose defense has kept them in the whole year. Their offense has been the weak point, and their defense allowed 29 points, and they're eventually going to give up points when they're out there for 45 minutes of the game.
Exactly. I think it would have been a totally different game if maybe Florida maybe got a turnover or even a stop to stop Alabama from moving the chains. I think it would have been totally different to let that defense rest, but we didn't see that, and Alabama controlled the game.
Yep. Now let's go to our last game we talked about this week. Number 5, MSU, in the Big Ten Championship game, squared off against number 4, Iowa. And MSU edges out Iowa 16-13. And really, when I was watching the game, Iowa had 3 turnovers, and that definitely affected the outcome. Also, it was a low-scoring game, defensive battle each side, 365 total yards for MSU, as Iowa had only 268. And this came down to a last 9-minute drive by MSU and a last-second LJ Scott 1-yard TD run with under a minute, which punched their ticket to the playoff.
Yeah, and that 9-minute drive to end the game was actually their longest of the season. And like we said in the last game, the ability to have long drives and to sustain drives for such a long time where you can get a touchdown out of it, like for 9 minutes, that's going to really wear down the defense, and eventually you're just going to start moving the chains more rapidly than you have before. And on that last drive, you saw Michigan State play the best football they have this whole season, I think. Mm-hmm. You saw a little bit of a read option with Connor Cook on 4th and 2, which he barely got it, but that ended up setting up the touchdown. And I think that's Michigan State's strength. I think it's the strength to hold the ball, and it's their strength
run game
with the quarterback.
Power offense, defense, and that's going to be interesting how they match up against Alabama, who runs a similar offense to theirs.
Exactly, and we both predicted it was going to be a rough, hard-nosed Big Ten game with low scoring, so we got that one right. I just think we didn't expect it to come down to the last possession where they need to score a touchdown to win.
And here's some low stats for you. Connor Cook, 191 passing yards. LJ Scott, 73 yards rushing, but he had the one TD that matters on that last drive.
Yep.
And Beathard, Iowa's quarterback, 216 yards passing and one TD. So you definitely can tell the defense has stood out this game.
Yeah, I think both these teams could make an impact in bowl season. We'll see during our preview video. But Iowa has a little bit of a tough draw in bowl season, don't you think?
Yep. I think they get the Rose Bowl game.
Yeah.
And I think that's still a great
consolation prize.
Yeah, because coming from Iowa, they're not used to playing since the 2009 Orange Bowl against Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, yeah.
Yeah, this is a good consolation prize for them against a very good Stanford team who'd beat Notre Dame. Had a loss against Northwestern earlier in their year, but I'm sure Iowa will be studying some film because it's going to be a tough, hard-nosed game just like the one they just played in.
Yeah, for sure.
And let's talk about the Heisman race.
Yeah, I think the Heisman's really narrowed down. I think championship week has helped a lot of people, but it's also hurt a lot of people who weren't in championship games. And I think that's the one thing that's flawed in the system, because I think this week hurt Baker Mayfield, who wasn't in a championship game because the Big 12 doesn't have one. Ezekiel Elliott too, but they have a championship game. They didn't make it. Baker Mayfield, and the Oklahoma Sooners won the Big 12, and he wasn't in the title game. And I think that hurt him. I just think the people it helped Deshaun Watson, for sure. And it helped Stanford's running back, Christian McCaffrey,
yeah.
Yeah, McCaffrey. It helped him a ton.
Keenan Reynolds. He's up there now.
Yeah, it helped Keenan Reynolds. And I think that if we see five people in New York, it will be... I think Keenan Reynolds gets left out of New York. I think it would be a great story coming from Navy and having the most touchdowns. I think it would be a great story coming from Navy to go to New York and be in the Heisman voting, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think we'll see Baker Mayfield there for sure, Deshaun Watson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Derrick Henry. Those are my four, and hopefully Delvin Cook. I want to see Delvin Cook there, but I don't know if we'll see him there.
Now, I got Derrick Henry. I got McCaffrey. I have Baker Mayfield. I have Keenan Reynolds. And I also have maybe Delvin Cook squeaking in there. Maybe I'm forgetting someone. But I think it's going to be a tight race. But I really think Derrick Henry pulled this one out.
I agree with you. I think right now that Delvin Cook could squeak in. But I also agree with you that Derrick Henry is probably the front runner right now. And do you notice how early in the season we were talking about Leonard Fournette being the Heisman? He already has it locked down, and now he's not going to face it. He's not going to get invited to New York.
Yeah, funny how things can happen during the season.
Yeah, but I'm still going to stick to my guns, and I'm still going to say Baker Mayfield's winning the Heisman.
Really?
Yep, I'm still sticking to my guns.
You said that for a while now.
Yeah, I'm sticking
now,
to my guns.
Now, let's talk about Mark Recht, University of Miami head coach.
Yeah, I think that was a great hire by the University of Miami. I think it's going to hopefully bring the program back to prominence, because I think that's good for all college football, not just the ACC. And speaking of hires, this happened last night. Will Muschamp got hired to South Carolina.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, the former Florida coach. And I think that's also a good hire because he knows the SEC, and hopefully he can bring South Carolina back to where Steve Spurrier had it.
Yeah, and there's still plenty of job openings, too. And I think there's going to be a big shakeup in college football. I was hearing that I was looking at rumors the other night about and Rich Rod turned it down, but a return to West Virginia.
Yeah, if I was Rich Rod, I wouldn't do that because I think he kind of has the setup in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Because
he's turned that program around ever since he was hired at for the Wildcats.
Yeah, they had a bad season this year, but his offense is really prolific. His defense, not so much. And that works in the Pac-12 or the Big 12. It wouldn't work for West Virginia, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And now let's look at – we have a few games this week because there's no games this week. But we have 21 Navy and Keenan Reynolds, who we mentioned earlier, 9-2, squaring off against arch-rival Army, who's 2-9. I think we both have Navy winning this game. But let's look at the significance of this game. This – one of the bigger rivalries in the country.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be closer than what appears to be on paper.
Yeah, because it's a big rivalry game. I think Keenan Reynolds is going to have a big game. And we need to look at the significance of this game in that these seniors, these are going to be most likely the last football game they ever play. And what's after this? They're going to go defend our country. So it's a big game for them to get their last football game before they go defend our country on the front lines. And I think it's a great game for everyone to watch. I think everyone should watch the Army-Navy game because it's intense. And I just think everyone should tune into that game.
Yep. And let's jump down to D2 here because one of our in-state colleges, Grand Valley State,
yeah,
is
local.
In the Division II semifinal. They upsetted Ferris State, who was a top-5 team. They beat Ashland, who was undefeated,
yep.
And they beat another team. And now they're facing undefeated Shepherd. And the winner of that game squares off either against West Georgia or Northwest Missouri State in the national championship game. So let's cheer on the Lakers. I think it's on ESPN3, and you can find it online. And it'll be a big game. I know that I'm probably going to tune in and check out how the Lakers are doing, and I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, and if you guys didn't know, one prominent college coach was actually the coach of Grand Valley State before he went to a bigger team, Brian Kelly.
Yeah, Brian Kelly. He was there. He led him to plenty of national championships, went to Cincinnati, and now he's at Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's great to see that the Lakers are coming back to prominence. And one more thing I want to mention before we get off the D2 topic, they have a bigger playoff than four teams.
Yes, and I would have liked to see that. I don't want to see, it's what, 30, they have like way bigger than 16?
Yeah, I think it's like 16 or 32 for D2. I would just like to see D1 have
eight. I think, because look, you got... You'd get to see Ohio State play in it, Stanford.
We get to, yeah, if we had an 18
you'd have
playoff.
Iowa and MSU still in it. You get to see who the best teams really are rather than four shows it, but I think eight will show it better, and I think the committee should consider that in years to come.
Yeah, because if we had an 18 playoff this year, you'd be seeing a rematch with a very close Clemson and Notre Dame game. You'd see
Ohio State rematch against Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'd see
Michigan State against Stanford. And then at Oklahoma.
Versus Iowa.
Yeah.
So I think that playoff sounds much more intriguing than the 14 playoff we have right now. And hopefully in years later we can adopt the 18 playoffs.
Yep, but I'm happy with the 14 playoff now because last year proved that the best team in the country wasn't the two teams that were projected to play in the national championship.
Exactly, it was that fourth team, and you never know what could have happened.
It was actually a 3-4 matchup in the national championship.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oregon and Ohio State.
This proves that the committee, you know, selected the